Good morning. We're going to be back visiting Kentucky a little bit this morning. I want to thank you for coming at this early session. And this is work that was done with some of my colleagues also at the University of Kentucky and at UNLV. And what we are looking at, first I have to give my disclosure. This was the funding source for this project, and also I have no financial relationships to disclose. The purpose of this study was to determine whether rural community smoke-free characteristics and perceived support for smoke-free policy predicted local officials' perception of the likelihood of a law being passed. And just to give you a little background on this study, in Kentucky, similar to other states, smoke-free policy in rural areas has really lagged behind urban areas. In Kentucky, we do have several smoke-free laws, as were outlined this morning earlier, but they tend to be in the urban areas. And so this project, excuse me, is actually an intervention project to promote readiness for smoke-free policy development, particularly in rural counties in our state. And this is kind of a sub-study of that. Part of that project was to measure and help promote readiness for policy development. And part of the measure is based on assessments of community advocates, which would include tobacco control coordinators or coalition members. And also another part of it is from assessments that were taken from elected officials, which would include mayors or county judge executives. They would be elected officials who would have power at the local level to enact policy. Just as a little way of background, only 40% of Americans are covered by comprehensive smoke-free policy, including in all workplaces. And as I mentioned, rural members of the population are disproportionately affected by smoking, both by higher smoking rates in general and by less likelihood of having a smoke-free law to protect them. Smoke-free laws are often enacted by city or county governments. And since local elected officials are accessible and often more receptive to community needs than our state or federal officials at that level. This was from the baseline survey of a larger community-based randomized controlled trial. We interviewed key informants in 29 rural counties in Kentucky. This was via telephone, and asked them about their political climate, their perception of the political climate in their county in terms of the likelihood that smoke-free laws would be enacted. Also from those same counties, we interviewed elected officials, again using phone interview, and asked them in particular how likely they felt that a smoke-free law would be passed in the next 12 months. We collected these data between June and August of 2007. And in all, we had 144 key informants or community advocates and 83 elected officials. The key informants were predominantly female with an average age of 47, and all were Caucasian. The elected officials were predominantly male, a little bit older, and also very Caucasian. The demographics are very consistent with the underlying population, particularly in rural Kentucky. The measures that we used in this sub-study included the demographic characteristics of the respondents, and then we chose 13 items from the larger community readiness survey. The larger community readiness survey collects data on a variety of different dimensions. We focused for this paper on the political climate dimension, and from that we chose 13 items that the key informants completed, and then there one item from the elected official survey, which was what is the likelihood that a smoke-free law will be enacted in your county in the next 12 months. We scaled all of the items so that a score of 1 would indicate the highest possible level of agreement or tendency towards smoke-free policy, so that we would be able to compare the items one to another. The data analysis included descriptive statistics. We looked at correlations among the items, or between the elected official item, the single item from the elected official, and then the 13 items from the community advocates. We looked at linear regression, controlling for county-level demographics of smoking-rated population, because we know from prior work that those things are related to the propensity for smoke-free law. And we wanted to find out which of the items on the key informant survey were most predictive of elected officials' perception that law was likely. Among the correlation analysis results, we found that, again, this is which of the community advocate items correlate with the single elected official item, the likelihood item, that we found that community advocates, their perception of overall community readiness was correlated with the elected officials' response about the likelihood, which, you know, it's sort of a duh, but it's kind of nice that two pretty disparate groups could have similar agreement on whether this was likely or not. Voluntary indoor policies at hospitals. So communities that had a higher number of hospitals that had voluntary smoke-free policies. And for those of us who are used to, I mean, this is kind of a duh too. It was kind of an eye-opener for us that in rural areas in Kentucky, there are hospitals that do not mandate a no-smoking policy, which is kind of shocking, but it's reality at this point. But we did find that communities whose advocates reported a higher percentage of hospitals that had voluntary smoke-free policies had elected officials who were more likely to conclude that a smoke-free law was likely. The percent of smoke-free restaurants was also an indicator. The percent of smoke-free workplaces. Community advocates' perception of whether or not local leaders supported smoke-free law was correlated with the elected officials' perception that a smoke-free law was likely. And then support from local boards of health. If community advocates reported that local board of health members were supportive of this type of policy, then elected officials were in agreement that was a likely outcome. So what we did for the regression analysis, because although we have a lot of participants in this study, we actually have an N of 29 because we had to look at we had to aggregate the responses at the county level. And so since we have an N of 29, what we did was we used the correlations that were significant in the bivariate analysis, used each one of those as a potential predictor for what predicts the elected official's likelihood assessment. And looked at those in separate regressions, controlling for the county population size and the adult smoking rate. And what I have in this kind of busy slide is the three regression models that were significant. And what we found is that controlling for those two county-level demographic characteristics, that the things that predicted that elected officials would think that it was likely to have a smoke-free law in the next 12 months would be voluntary hospital policy, the position of local leaders, the community advocates' perception of the position of local leaders on enacting smoke-free policy, and then how many local Board of Health members are supportive of such policy. So those seem to be the key things, namely that having smoke-free hospitals might be a precursor to getting more community acceptance of having such a law, and the same thing with local Board of Health members. So again, the predictors of likelihood of a smoke-free law would be a greater proportion of smoke-free hospitals, greater support for smoke-free policy by local leaders, as perceived by key informants or community advocates, and then a greater proportion of supporters of smoke-free policy among local Board of Health members. And another thing that was interesting, although this wasn't our original question, is that a lower smoking rate, not surprisingly, was predictive of the likelihood of a policy, but the county population size was not. And for us, the take-home message was that even these small rural counties would have, you know, would be just as likely in this group of 29 to be able to enact such a policy. Perceived support from local Board of Health members and low community rates combined were the strongest predictors of likelihood. Boards of Health, this kind of underscores that Boards of Health may need updated scientific information about the health effects of secondhand smoke, because they are in these rural counties, they are in a relatively powerful position to enact such policies. this also underscores the important role local Boards of Health play in health policy development. That's what I just said. Hospitals were most likely to be smoke-free. In our study, we looked at the percent of public places that were smoke-free. Hospitals were most likely to be smoke-free, followed by restaurants, bars, and city buildings. Rural communities may increase their likelihood of a smoke-free law if they adopt smoke-free policy sort of as a precursor. And then existing smoke-free policies may encourage the widespread acceptance of smoke-free laws. In conclusion, rural health advocates can enhance the political climate for smoke-free laws by educating Board of Health members, by promoting voluntary adoption of smoke-free policies in rural hospitals in particular, and by investing in effective population-based approaches to tobacco treatment in rural communities, because we know communities with lower smoking rates are more accepting of such policies. Are there questions? There are. Actually, my colleague, Ellen Hahn, where are you? There she is. She is more into this than me. That there is a gradual move towards that, but right now the stance that we're taking is to continue to reinforce and to continue to develop local policy with the idea that a statewide law, if the groundwork hasn't already been laid for it, may not do well. It may not be strong enough, et cetera. Did I say that okay?
You mentioned that you worked with Nancy Morgan and Melody. Did you compare, because I've seen her presentation, so did you compare her findings as well to the ones that you had in the last official?
That was a study that she did some time ago, and she had different counties, different people involved. Her study was kind of a springboard for this in a way, because we used a lot of the information that she developed in terms of instruments and that kind of thing. Right. Like, for example, percent of smoke-free restaurants or hospitals or whatever, that's easy to change to one, you know, rather than being from 0 to 100, it's from 0 to 1. So we would just divide by 100, whatever the number was, to get a proportion rather than a percentage. But some of the other things were on a Likert scale. So if it ranged from 1 to 4, then we would divide it by 4 so that it was 0.25, et cetera, up to 1 rather than staying on the 1 to 4 basis.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.